Welcome all. This is the Seanorama with another On the Road episode. Who knows? I'm not keeping track as I record them. I only keep track as I put them up. But kind of fill you in here today. So here's what I am talking about today. There's been a lot of talk for the last little bit here. Prince just passed away. There's been a lot of tributes and stuff that are out there. There's also been a lot of people have passed away recently, and I'm not going to harp on that. Lemmy from Motorhead, and a bunch of people have passed away, and there's been a lot of talk about music lately. It's kind of everything that's on everyone's mind right now. We're seeing tributes to all these musicians from all these different walks of life. And the debate has been brewing between Gene Simmons and a number of rappers regarding the conversation that rock is dead, and the discussion that rock cannot be defined simply by the old rock and roll formula of a bass, a guitar, and drums. It can't be defined by that anymore, but that's what some people are saying. So there's this big topic of discussion that's going around, and Dee Snider's been talking about it a lot. Dee Snider is the principal songwriter for Twisted Sister, and I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately revolving around music, and it's something that just keeps getting brought up and up and up. Eddie Trunk talks about it all the time, and I kind of want to throw my two cents in here and maybe phrase the question in a different way from what's being asked on whether is rock dead. Here's a couple of ideas that I wanted to throw out there. Well, not a few ideas. Here's what I want to talk about. So here's what people are saying, and I'm going to be the devil's advocate in this and talk about what we're talking about. So what's being said, Eddie Trunk has said this many times, Dee Snider has said this many times, Sammy Hagar, a number of musicians, and they're basically saying, look, when someone comes out to see my band play live, they don't want to hear any new material. If we get a new album out, nobody wants to hear any new material. They want to hear the classics. They want to hear the old hits. If you play something off the new album, then that's when everyone goes to the washroom or they go and buy another beer. Nobody's interested in hearing the new songs. And this is the argument that they keep putting forth. The other thing they say is promoting and putting out a new album, it's very costly. It takes a lot of time. It's a long process to record. There's all these hoops to jump through. There's the distribution of the CD. There's a massive amount of effort and time put into making new music and getting it out there and making sure the CDs are in people's hands, and all of it's for nothing because nobody wants to hear the new music. No one is interested. So, and further proof of that is when they go play live and then no one wants to hear the new material. All they want to do is hear the classics, that sort of thing. So that's the argument. They're saying there is no point in making new music. People want to hear the old stuff. Rock and roll is well and alive as long as it's 20 years old. Otherwise, there's no point in making anything new, especially if you've a band that's been around for some time. Guitar music is not popular anymore. People are listening to dance music and EDM and the Maroon 5s of the world and that sort of thing, and no one is interested in rock and roll anymore. Rock and roll is dead or dying or on its last leg. So these are the arguments. I would like to refute this. Now, rock music, the definition of rock music in a lot of people's minds is guitar, bass, drums, a pounding, simple beat, lead guitars, screeching vocals, whatever. Like, there's a definition of what people think rock and roll is. And I like to think that rock and roll is an evolving musical style. And I think where people get hung up on rock and roll is that rock and roll is what they grew up with listening. My thought on it is rock and roll is not, it's not just Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones and AC/DC and Kiss. It's not just those things. That is very limiting to what rock and roll is. Rock and roll is a lot of things. It's not... So when you look at the beginnings of rock and roll came from the blues, electrified guitar, music with attitude. That's the one thing I like to look at. It's music with attitude. So it eventually got kind of lumped in with electronic music. And at the time, electronic music meant you plugged your guitar in, you plugged your bass in. When you were singing, you were singing through a microphone. It was electronic music in that it was electric music. And that was what defined what rock and roll was at the time. But rock and roll goes back a lot further. It's about attitude. It's about an aggression. It's about soul. It's about going away from technicality and going towards a feeling, which is where the blues, you know, origins kick in, right? So there is still music like that out there, but it is not as, you can't put it into a closet or put it into a corner and say rock and roll is A, B, C, and D, and then that's it. Rock music is everything. So for example, you just look on a playlist and you can sort your playlist on your computer. And when you select rock, there's more than one style. Rock and roll is not just one thing. There's alternative rock. There's classic rock, which is, I think, what a lot of people are hung up on. There's heavy rock, like heavy metal. It's a form of rock and roll. Rock and roll is, you know, it's got rhythm and blues in it. It is so universal a term that to limit it to the bands I mentioned before is really limiting. I mean, if it sounds like that, sure, it gets lumped into the classic rock. And really, that's what it is. But it is way more than that. If someone is coming out to see you perform, and you've been around for 20 years, and you had two or three hits early on in the career, and you put out albums after that didn't really hit, maybe, you know, an odd single here and there. Maybe you got a total of 5 songs over your career, but most of them are leaning towards the beginnings of your career when your band broke big. And you're saying you're not going to put any more albums out because we kept putting albums out and nothing's happening and, you know, no one's buying it and no one wants to hear the songs live. I think that's a crock. If people aren't listening to those songs, you haven't hit the audience. But I'm going to use an example here of a few examples. Now, Gene Simmons from Kiss, always saying rock is dead, rock is dead, rock is dead. You can't play any new material. You know, but they keep putting albums out. And I will tell you something. A song becomes popular in a set over time. Especially in rock music. So maybe rock music in general, the old concept of what classic rock sounds like doesn't get played as much on the radio. But that's the problem with classic rock stations. If you're a classic rock band and you want to get new material heard on the radio, you have to redefine what your sound is. You can't just keep playing the same thing over and over again. Because what happens is, I mean, if you've got a style and it works well, there has to be something good, something new to that song. If you're just rehashing the same 3 chords or the same way, like, for example, a lot of bands, the strumming, they strum the guitar the same in every song, or they use the same, you know, quarter beats on everything, or you know, or something like that. If you're playing the same thing over and over again, why would a fan listen to the new song when they can listen to the original version of the song that sounded the same? The song that you fell in love with when you were 12 years old. We'll use Kiss the example. Someone really loves Rock and Roll All Night. And you try to recopy Rock and Roll All Night. You try to write a song in the same exact way as Rock and Roll All Night. People are going to go listen to Rock and Roll All Night. They're not going to listen to the new song. Not likely. So why don't you write a different song? Still a rock song. Can still have your sound. But don't try to repeat what you've done before. Try to create something new every time. Now, using Kiss as the example again, they have, when in their years of touring and they were putting new albums out, specifically if we look at their makeup years and their transition to kind of more hard rock band in the 80s through 90s, when they didn't have the makeup on, there are songs that they played and they kept adding, you know, two or three songs per album, you know, to the sets and whatever. And were they as well received? Well, maybe not, but they've stood the test of time. So the songs they were playing then in the 80s became standard fare in the 90s and are considered classic rock now. They're considered classic rock songs. It doesn't have to be songs from 20, 30 years ago. It can be songs from 10 years ago. The thing is, if a song is really good and you play it live and you expose your fans to it, they're going to listen to it more. If you're saying that the method of transmission to these fans is failing, then you need to try a different method of transmission. If the songs are good, people will listen to them. Kiss have had a couple of hits off the last, I don't know, album or two, and they're really well received. And they're added to the set, and they're becoming iconic songs. You can't write an iconic song. A song becomes iconic for a variety of reasons. So these classic rock bands that are complaining that their stuff is not accepted live means that people don't know the song going in, they haven't been exposed to the song, or the song just simply didn't catch with people. But you need to get it out there and make it popular. If the song is good, it will be popular. You have to expose it. You have to use what's out there to make it popular. You can't always rely on your record label to do it for you. You can't rely on your concert promoters to do it for you. You have to use everything at your helm to push a song. If a song is good and you put it out there, people will listen to it and will enjoy it. It's that simple. People are oversimplifying it and blaming it on trends. Music sales are down. People don't buy music anymore. Okay, sure. People are not ingesting music in the same way. They're ingesting music in different ways. People talk about new album. Oh, you know, I got to do a new video and no one's going to watch it. Bull crap. Put your video on you. Do a good video for a good song. Put it on YouTube and pimp the crap out of it. If something's good, it will catch. It will stick. The thing is, the channels that you're using to get it out there are not the same channels from 10 years ago. They're not even the same channels as 5 years ago, and they're definitely not the same channels of 20 years ago. If you want to be exposed, there's a whole other side to it. If you just want to make music and you're complaining that people aren't listening to it, you have to advertise yourself. This is the new millennia. This is how things work. So if you're not being heard, there's a variety of reasons why it's not being heard. Look into the reasons why things are not being heard. Don't make up reasons that the fans just don't care anymore. They do. But you have to make new fans. You can't rely on the old fans. You need to bring in new audiences. So let's use a couple more examples. A band that I've been following since day one are the Bullet Boys. Great band. Excellent band. They've had up ups and downs in popularity. They've had a couple of great albums that were phenomenal in their post years that people have not heard. They're on my regular rotation playlist. I love them. I listen, to be honest, it's to the point now with the Bullet Boys that I do not even listen to the old stuff because the new stuff is so good. Why is that? They went out and, Mark Torian or Torkian or however you want to pronounce his name or however it's spelt, depending on the day of the week. Mark has gone out and written songs and continued to write songs and get better as a songwriter throughout the years. The band had a couple of gems when they started out that became regular radio play, but they maintained. They stayed around. They kept putting music out. They kept performing. They kept playing the new songs. And yeah, sometimes maybe they're playing to 30 people. But sometimes they're playing to more. The thing is, their new album that just came out called Elefante, it is a phenomenal album. Probably the peak album of their entire career. And I don't mean in terms of sales, but in terms of recognition. Anyone that's listened to the new album is going, holy crap, is this good? Where did this come from? I didn't even know Bullet Boys were still around. Bullet Boys were on an independent label. And in order to be heard, they had to do a lot of things to push the new music. They perform all the time. They're pushing their new material out there. And maybe they're not as sly or as smart in this new age, but they're using Facebook to promote stuff. They're putting their videos accessible to anyone with an internet access. And they're letting people know. They're saturating every way, shape they can. And now they're not the most savvy band, but they're doing everything at their disposal to get their music heard. So here's what's happened. The music is getting rave reviews and they're promoting the crap out of it. They are promoting themselves. They're an indie band. They're promoting themselves. They don't have the backing that they probably should. But hey, that's what happens. There's ebbs and flows with a band's popularity, and sometimes you don't have all those tools at your disposal. They've written some amazing music to the point that they've gotten so much recognition for this album. And I'm not saying they're getting recognition like a U2 or an AC/DC, but they're getting so much recognition, they're being signed. A band that's been around for, God, what is it, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is, a band that old is getting signed based upon new material, not based upon old material, based upon new material that is so strong, people took notice. They shoved that music in people's faces and people listened. Now, are they going to be as big as a U2 or an AC/DC? Probably not. Are they making a living? Hell yeah, they're still making a living. They are doing what you should be doing. Write good music and people will follow if you can get it in their faces. And that's exactly what they're doing. So, you put a new song out, it's pretty average. Your chances of success are based upon how much you put into something. If you put something great into a song, that's half the battle. The other half is making people listen to it. And I'm going to use an analogy here. One of the many things I do is writing. And I truly believe that I am a very good writer. I've been writing for a really long time. I've written a large amount of material in different styles, different formats. I'm always trying new things. I'm always exercising the writing muscle. I'm not writing a mystery book all the time. I'm not writing a comic book every time. I'm always writing different things because you only become better at your craft if you're taking chances, if you're trying things, if you keep at it, you will become better. Specifically, if you fail, you become better. And if you take that failure and harness it, you become better. I've written a lot of crap. A ton of crap. In fact, the crap outweighs the good. And I'm okay with that because I took chances and tried different things. Have I become successful as a writer? I think I have. Do I have things that are published? I've got a couple of things published. Have people read them? A couple of people have read them. Am I successful? Yes, I'm successful. The reason I'm successful is because I'm still doing it and I haven't given up. I enjoy it. The process of writing and putting stuff out there is the reward for me. I'm not doing it to make money. If I make money, great. But people can smell BS a mile away. If I enjoy what I'm doing and I write something and I put everything into it and I put it out there, people can tell you did. If you write something and that you're writing a formula because that's what you've always done, you don't know anything else and you got no passion in it, people are going to smell that too. You might get success, but you're more likely to get success with something you're passionate about. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I am a fan of Dee Snider as a dude. I think he's pretty darn cool. I don't believe he's written, well, in my opinion, and it's not truth, it's just my opinion, is, I'll be honest, I've listened to a couple of, probably three Twisted Sister records, and I liked them. I thought they were good. Did I think they were excellent? No, but they had some good tunes on them. My interest has waned over the years because it's been kind of the same rehash. They're just kind of writing the same songs over and over again. They're not flexing their muscles. They're doing the exercises they know how to do. Another analogy, if you go to the gym and you do nothing but bench press, you never work out your lower body, you never work out your abs, you're not going to be the total package when you're done working out. You're not. You got to try all your muscles out. You got to try everything out. You got to see if it's going to work. You have to try things and you have to fail, but you can't give up when you fail. A failure is a victory because you've learned from it. And don't worry about public perception. So going on with the Dee Snider thing, he was kind of slamming, you know, the new state of music and that sort of thing. And how, I think along the lines, and I could be misquoting here, but along the lines of, well, you know, you put out two or three albums and then that's it. That's all anyone's ever going to want to listen to. I don't really believe in that adage. But the thing is, he tried to prove his point. So he went and wrote and recorded a song, made it available for free online. And he had, according to him, very little reception about it. Nobody really was interested. Nobody wanted to hear the song live. No one had any kind of interest in that song. But he wrote a song. He wrote a song, that's it. So if you're going to test the waters, write a song and put it out there and see if it's going to take off, and you write a song, one song every 10 years, that's not going to work. You might catch lightning in a bottle and it might become super popular, but you can't measure the success of that song and use that as your barometer of how things are, because that song might be a fluke, and if it failed, it also might be a fluke too. It's called consistency. People that succeed in life are consistent. I'll use another example here. Skid Row, they've remained true to themselves. I'm not a fan of the current lineup. I'll be honest, I do like the original lineup. But what I will say, they've been persistent. They've been consistent. They keep putting new material out. They keep writing more songs. And apparently, you know, they're promoting, right? So I've listened to a few interviews with them recently, and because of their promotion of their material, I'm thinking I'm going to go pick up a Skid Row CD. I'm actually going to go find one and go buy it. I'm either going to buy a CD, I'm going to buy it electronically, but I'm going to give them money. Why? Because they're still promoting themselves. They're still going out there. Apparently, they're songwriting, they're taking chances, and they're doing things, and they're trying different things. They might become quote-unquote successful again, but in my mind, they already are, because they're making a living doing what they do, and they keep doing it, and they love doing what they do. They still have a passion for writing great songs. I'm not going to say they're great songs. I don't know. I haven't listened to them, but they're successful because they're still able to do what they're doing. Success is not making $1 million or making $10 million. Success is making a living, doing what you're doing, and loving what you're doing, and not being miserable. That is success, and they are successful. So, and they're still putting new material out, and they're still playing that new material live. And maybe they've lost some of the original hardcore fans that they had that will only listen to the first two albums they put out. But they are building a brand, maintaining their brand, and bringing in new fans that might not even be aware of the first two albums. So the people that have left them, like myself, not interested in hearing the new material, like myself, I'd been, you know, that's fine. Fans can come and go. That is okay. Keeping your fans, you know, you can't keep them all. But if you're consistent, you will succeed. And success is being able to do it, make a living doing it. That's what I say. So, Dee Snider putting, you know, one song out. I mean, he complained about his failure with Widowmaker and another band he was in. Were they failures? Well, okay, they were financial losses. But he was doing things according to an old formula when the entire regime of how music was put out was changed. If he had been innovative and tried different things, maybe he'd have been successful. Case in point. Prince, when he finally managed to wrangle himself from the record label, he went from, you know, selling anywhere from 2 to 10 million copies an album at the time, considered, I guess we consider him successful. But if you look in terms of things, Prince was not successful. He was chained to a record label. They took 95% of the profit, or probably more. Prince didn't own any of those songs, so he was indentured to them to do whatever they asked about those songs, because he worked for someone else. I mean, he worked for a record label. That was his employer. And they kept most of the profit. So, I mean, he was making a living doing it. So, successful in that respect. But he wasn't doing it on his own terms. So, but I mean, overall, he was successful. He went on his own. He finally got, you know, wriggled free of the record contract and was releasing his own music online, selling, distributing his own CDs. He was selling nowhere near the volume he was before, but he was more profitable, and he had complete control over the new songs and the new music he was putting together. His tours were doing excellent. He was getting people to hear new music. He had an album called, I believe, 3121 that got a lot of play. But he never gave up. He kept putting his material out, and when, you know, the old way of putting music out didn't work, he found a new way of putting music out and getting people to hear it. And in my opinion, he was way more successful as a non-label artist than he was as a label artist. Even though he sold way more albums and got more exposure, he was able to put albums out in the way he wanted. From a guy that wrote a song every day of his life, and to be limited by the record label saying, well, I don't want you to put this out. Well, you should put an album out every 2 years, not every year, or not every 6 months. He did what he wanted to do that made him happy. He sold nowhere near as many albums, but because he had control, his, you know, his cut is probably 95% versus 5% of all sales, and you don't have to sell as many albums. That is success. He succeeded. More successful than when he was selling 10 million copies of an album, in my opinion. So, but I mean, he is, I know he passed away, but even before he passed away, he's still relevant. People still talk about him, and it's called persistence. He He remained in the game. He kept going. He had ups and downs in terms of commercial success, but still successful because he still did what he wanted to do. I want to do covers tonight. I'm going to go out live and play, and I'm just going to do covers because I want to do covers. That's all I'm going to do. It's what I want to do. Is he happy doing it? Hell yeah. People go see Prince, and he's got a big smile on his face. And he's, you know, he's performing with passion. That's success. That's true success. So, if you're a classic rock band, and you're consistently putting music out, and you're putting it in people's faces, and people aren't listening to it, but you're happy doing it, you still include it in your sets. People will come around. A good song is a good song is a good song. People will come around. You need to build a groundswell movement and make it happen. And it's not going to be easy. And you might not be successful the first 30 times you do it. But you got to be consistent. If you're in it to play live and that's all you're interested in, and the songwriting process is something you don't like, sure, you're probably not going to succeed. You might luck out and have a big single, but you might not. But you're more likely to be successful if it's the songwriting you're enjoying. And you're not a failure if you're not putting out new material. That's a choice. You don't have to have new material out. If you are all about the touring and you want to play the same, you know, 10, 20 songs live that you've been playing for the last 30 years, power to you. If that's what makes you happy, do it. But to say people don't want to hear new music is a fallacy. People don't want to hear new music that's not new music. It's that simple. They don't want to hear something that's not good. Well, sometimes they do, but again, that's one of those luck of the draw things. But again, consistency and persistence always pay off. So, there's my rant, if you want to call it that, on what I think about that. Next podcast, I've already got it planned and I've been wanting to talk about it, but I want to make sure I have the time to talk about it because this is something I'm very passionate about. The next podcast I want to talk about, I do want to talk about success, and it's going to be a branch off of this one. And it's the difference between, it's another exploration of success, but from the perspective of art versus technique. And what the difference is. I think you guys are going to like this one. My wife and I had a huge discussion about it, and I'd love to bring it on the podcast to discuss it, because the discussion we had was reinvigorating, and it kind of got me all tingly and all my nerve endings, because she was so passionate about what she was talking about, art versus technique, and how some people put technique above art. There's art in everything we do. There's technique in everything we do. And I think the perfect blending of both results in success and the perception of success. So we're going to talk about that next podcast. I'm going to sign out for now. It's been a long drive home today. Lots of traffic going on here. We'll catch you next time on the flip side.